Welcome to the Better Sovereign Show. I'm your host, Colin Stuckert, member of the Better Podcast Network. It's a daily dose of freedom, sovereignty, money, Bitcoin, one big idea to help you prepare, protect your family, protect your future, both physically and financially, and hopefully think a little bit better. You can get all the updates over at colin.coach to get the Better Human newsletter, as well as our other shows. Today's idea is, what is money? The properties of sound money. Now, this is something I could talk about for hours, and other people talk about this a lot. There's books written about it, podcasts about it. Robert Breedlove's got a great podcast, 1 to 9 with Michael Saylor. I highly recommend that series. So I'm going to cover just one simple idea of this, and it's something that's an ongoing learning process. Because nobody, myself included, was taught what money is or should be in school. All right? So money is traditionally thought of, or should be, a medium of exchange, a storage of value, and a unit of account. Now, let's think about this for a second. So throughout history, there's been a lot of forms of money. And money has always arisen from free market forces, meaning people out there transacting, not a government or king or whatever, although they try to do this, but money always comes out of the ether. When people establish that they need something to transact with that is not going to be easily replicatable, which is counterfeitable, right? And something that is hard to produce, ideally, it's called, known as proof of work, meaning like you had to really produce this thing and it's not a fake, it's not a counterfeit, right? And ideally it's something that's divisible. So that's something that you can trade one for this, for another of the like weight or whatever. Like if you have one sheep, how are you going to say this is better or worse than that sheep? I mean, you know, you can, but it becomes very subjective very quickly. You might like a white sheep, they might like a black sheep. How do you exchange the two? They're not easily fungible, meaning they can exchange easily amongst themselves for another, all right? So throughout history, you've had things like tea. Bricks of tea have been a form of money, right? Obviously, cattle and animals. Seashells have been a form of money. Glass beads. And then, of course, you know, silver and gold, which have a lot of the best properties of money, which is why the free market over thousands of years have always kind of led to them as being used as money. That's why gold has always won, because it is one of the scarcest, hardest, but there's just enough of it to be used around the world. And it's very hard to counterfeit. You got to get out of the ground. It's very expensive. You know, it's somewhat identifiable, so that's hard to counterfeit, though there is a lot of counterfeit gold out there actually. And there's problems with gold, which we'll talk about when we talk about Bitcoin, but it has always been the best store of value, the best medium of exchange, and it has been a unit of account because of these properties that have kept it stable and made it a little bit resistant to manipulation, right? Though today it is actually very manipulated, but that is why all the big governments own it and keep it in their coffers, because then they can manipulate it, all right? So I'm going to read this quote from the book Bitcoin Independence Reimagined, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. I'm already running out of time. So again, like I said, this is a big topic, takes a lot of time. So let's just get into this. So monetary entity that no human, no, that's not what I want to do. I'm going to do that one next. All right. So a good medium of exchange needs to be able to store value. The better it stores value, however, the less likely people are to exchange it for something that isn't likely to store value as well. Bitcoin's value has such a large potential upside that people refuse to exchange it for frivolous things such as coffee or mass-produced cars. Contrary to what one might think, this doesn't make it a bad medium of exchange. Quite the opposite. How often a medium of exchange is used is not the correct metric to look at when trying to measure its usefulness as such a medium. What this basically means is like, and a simple way to think about this is, let's say you have a 1 ounce gold coin, right? I have a couple of these, and I have some silver as well. Am I going to take that to the coffee shop and say, okay, well, you know what? Give me 1,000 coffees, basically, or whatever the value is, right? No, okay, I want one coffee. So then I got to like shave off a little bit, and then you have to somehow measure that. Like, so this doesn't become practical in day-to-day commerce. But because you can't use gold to buy coffee, right? Though you could, but it would be very difficult, and you probably end up with a lot more coffee than you need. People don't really criticize gold because they can't use it to day-to-day transact. Gold ends up becoming a settlement layer. So you have gold in a vault, and then you issue banknotes against it, and then the banknotes are redeemable for gold, which keeps a stable price. That's what a gold-backed currency is, right? And we haven't been on this, you know, since Nixon took us off in 1971, took us off the gold standard. This is also criticism of Bitcoin that makes no sense. Everyone thinks it should be like the dollar you should transact, but that's not what it is. It's basically digital gold. It's a better form of gold, right? So it ends up becoming a settlement layer and a way to peg other things like layer two or layer three money connected to that. And by being able to settle up for Bitcoin, it creates price equilibrium, price stability. So again, that could be super long rabbit hole to go down. But what I want you to think about here is just very simple question, right? Think about tea as a form of money, right? So you'd get these tea bricks they would make in China, and they would carry them around, and they're relatively stable and they stay together, but they rot, they go bad, right? So if you were to get paid in tea bricks for a bushel of apples you gave somebody, that you, those bushel of apples has proof of work, you had to grow those, there was calories put into them, inputs, and then somebody buys them from you. So they exchange something else that you want to also hold value and to have proof of work behind it. Now, tea does have proof of work because you have to grow tea. But tea is not a good thing to store value. And it's also not a good unit of account because who's going to value it? Like one province might want tea here, so it's less valuable there or there because they grow a lot of it and this place doesn't, et cetera, right? It's not a good unit of account. It's not a good store of value. It's a reasonable medium of exchange because you know that if you get this thing of tea, you can probably sell it to someone else, right? So like it's a little bit there, but the worst property of it is that it just wastes away. So if you were to give a bushel of apples for a brick of tea or seashells or glass beads or whatever, in a year, that might not be worth the same thing for various reasons. The tea would rot. The glass beads, well, you know, if a ship shows up like the Spanish did or whatever, and a bunch of glass beads that they took from other shores now show up to the small island that was using glass beads, what do you get? You get hyperinflation, you get currency collapse because now they're not valuable, right? Like I said, huge topic. We could keep going on with examples with this, but it's supposed to be a 5-minute-ish show, so I got to leave you there. We're going to go real quick into the lightning round. Not lightning round. I don't even know why I called it that, but the closing round, if you will, and let you go. So this day in history, 1846, U.S. takes San Francisco from Mexico. Most people totally take for granted what went into building something like the United States or just building humanity in general. The amount of people that had to die and suffer and the amount of bad things that had to happen and the amount of experiments that had to go right and wrong to learn is massive. I mean, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of people that came before us that we now stand on the giants of, and our comfort is attributed to them. Just something to not take for granted, to be grateful for. That's why being a student of history is very important. So this is a funny one. Heads of Easter Island, you know, the big statues, they have bodies. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the picture of the stone head here, which is half buried. Basically, the shoulders are exposed in the head. But below that, you have apparently a whole body, which is just incredible, actually. So cool. And I didn't know this. The moon has moonquakes, apparently. The moon has moonquakes. Wow. Due to tidal stresses. But what, like, there's not really water there, so what is, I don't know. Interesting. All right, and if you want to support the show, head over to wildfoods.co, use code WILDCEO for, I believe it's 15% off. It might be 20. I had to check that, but it's massive. I totally updated the code. You can get all of your clean label premium superfoods, real foods, and supplements to help you on your health journey, whatever that happens to be. If you want to replace coffee, if you want to boost coffee, if you want to get really good coffee roasted in Austin, we also got collagen, we got whey, we have our fish oil that we take daily, give it to the kids. You can do a golden milk if you're not doing coffee. We got super greens here, vanilla powder, cocoa butter, elderberry caps with vitamin C and zinc, especially when you're feeling not so great, our pre-pro, our turmeric. I could go on and on. Check it out, wildfoods.co. Use code WOWCEO at checkout. And that's a great way to support your health and support the show. That's going to be it for today's episode. Make sure you subscribe on any of the places. Maybe share it if you want to. And get on the Better Human newsletter over at colin.coach, where you get the hub of this show and the Better Human show, as well as other content from around the web that I find useful that I write about every weekend. I will see you in the next one.